This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank from A History with God, welcoming you today and also welcoming all of our members, our subscribers, our listeners, our partners, and those of you who are joining us for the first time. We have Mr. Josh Rinaldo with us today. What's up, brother?
Hey, Frank. How's it going?
It's going good. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man.
So Josh is one of the inner circle, I'll say, one of our Monday night coffee crew buddies. Pastor Allen's been on, Jason's been on, Tim McDonald's been on. They've done actually their own at this point. And Keith has been on. Yeah. He's been on twice now.
Yep.
It's good to finally sit down with you and talk God, man.
That's right, yeah.
Hallelujah. So what's been going on with you?
I've just been on a journey of sonship, man. Righteousness of God, sonship, taking it on, walking through the fire, taking what I keep from the fire. We met about almost a year, probably almost
no, more
exactly,
than a year ago now.
A little more than a year ago.
A little bit more than a year. A year, I want to say like a year and a week.
Year and a week. When you met me, I was going through some pretty tough times, feeling really depressed.
I remember that
time. Mm-hmm. I kind of sit there in the background and maybe talk. The Holy Spirit leads me to talk, but mostly absorb the truth that I'm the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And I'm a son of God, and it's been a journey of identity for me for the
past year and week.
Year and week, at least, plus and then some, because I've met Tim and Alan, and they started with the whole sonship.
Amen, man.
You know, they've been sowing that into me for probably 4 or 5 years at this
point. Wow, hallelujah.
And it just takes a while for that identity to take hold. So it's been about identity for me. The Lord said to me probably 4 or 5 years ago, how can you know who you are in Christ if you don't even know who you are? And that's what started kicking it off. I was like, you're right, Lord. Like, how can I know? And so he started to show me who I was.
Oh,
he started to, through a bunch of different personality profiles, specifically the Myers-Briggs personality profile, I learned just how God crafted me to be. He crafted my personality in a certain way, and I have certain characteristics and certain things. And there were some things that I just, the Lord said, hey, you have to start accepting yourself. You have to accept the way that I made you in certain areas. And again, it's not just accepting your weakness and being like, well, woe is me, I'm weak and that's how I am, I'll never change. It's no, like, God's like, no, you need to accept yourself for the purpose of growth. So I struggled a lot with fear.
Okay.
Fear and anxiety. Just, it's something that's been a real deep struggle in my life, and certain things, like, for example, money. Fear over money, over not having enough. And certain things with money would trigger me to go into this really bad place of fear where I would start to control people around me. And specifically, like my wife, I would go into this place of control because that was the only thing that made the fear go away. And really, it was just control. It was just control for the purpose of feeling better.
For that moment, it was just self-preservation.
Yeah, and so what that looks like in terms of accepting myself, God was like, look, that's not okay that you do that, but that's where you are. You need to accept that. The longer that you reject yourself in that area of weakness, the longer that area of weakness will never have an opportunity to mature. Because you're essentially rejecting that part about yourself. You're saying, no, that's not me. I don't want to. It's like, I don't accept that. That's not me. But really, it is you. Part of it is you. It's a weakness.
It's a flesh nature.
It's a flesh nature kind of thing.
Well, okay, so I just want to, listeners, I know your ears are probably like turning red right now, because whenever we talk to you guys on the Godcast, we always say you're the righteousness of God. When God sees you in the middle of a sin, he sees you as innocent, and it's all how God sees you. And amen, and that's all true. But today you're getting a little bit of a different kind of a sound, but we are still saying the same thing, but just like tune your ears into what we're saying here, okay? We're not saying that you have weaknesses and you better deal with it and face it because it'll never get any better. Yeah, you're the righteousness of God, but you're always going to sin. And no, that's not what we're saying.
Not at all.
Josh is saying, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, Josh, because this is your platform as well.
I will.
It's not just my history with God, it's also your history with God.
Yeah.
So let's say I have a gambling issue, okay? And I'm always thinking, okay, when I just hit that one number, then I'll stop. I ain't gonna stop. what you focus on gets bigger, as Tim McDonald always says, right?
Right, yeah.
So if I'm always gambling, always gambling, always gambling, and I now, and I know it's a problem, and I want to change, I can't just change by saying, well, I'm the righteousness of God, and I'm not going to gamble anymore. Why? Because I've been planting the seed of the gambling seed, the sin seed, where now it's become such a habitual thing that even though I want to stop, we just talked 2 weeks ago, me and Keith Axum, we just talked about this. Like, what would you say to the person who has a habitual sin but wants to stop?
Right.
That's where I think this podcast today comes in.
It may.
You love the Lord. You want to stop, and your sin has become such a habit, you don't know how to break it.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay? Here's the first way toward the road of, let's say, righteousness living. Number one, acknowledge that it doesn't please God.
Sure.
Number two, you know, and get someone else involved in it. Mm-hmm. Someone that you trust. Someone who's in life where you want to be. Don't go to another person who's suffering with gambling.
No, you don't want to do that. Right.
You know, go to somebody who's really good with money. Right. And you trust the person.
Right.
You say, listen, brother, I need some help here. I need some prayer. Mm-hmm. I need a good way to start doing something that I can kind of take my eyes off this and turn my eyes toward the Father. And if that person knows anything about the Word, he's going to say, well, you need to spend more time fellowshipping with the Father.
Right.
Because as you do that, you'll get the revelation that you really are the righteousness of God. You're in right standing with God.
Right.
And the more you fall in love with Him, the less you're going to want to go and gamble.
Definitely.
Does it mean you should walk past a casino just to test it out? No, that's stupid. Why would you do that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging a weakness in your life does not mean you've fallen from grace and that you're not the righteousness of God anymore and God ain't going to hang out with you.
Not at all.
Not at all, right?
Not at all.
Okay. I don't want to blur the line, though, either with the difference between works and grace. Grace people say, well, I don't have to do nothing. And works people say, well, I got to do something to please God. There's a balance.
Yeah, it's about the heart. It's about what is your heart. Is your heart to please God or is your heart to prove that you're righteous, you know? And,
right.
And that's not what my heart was. It was at one point to prove that I'm righteous, but I had to understand myself. Again, that's what the Lord was taking me on a journey to understand myself, to see who I am, to understand my identity. He said, how can you know who you are in Christ if you don't know who you are? So he was taking me at that time on a journey of really understanding who I was. And
gotcha.
So part of that for me was to know that I have good and I have bad things that I do. And that's the simplest terms, but
yeah.
Just in terms of like that fear and then the resulting me controlling.
Right.
That's affecting somebody else. That's affecting my wife to a huge degree.
Absolutely.
And that's an immature area. And so what God was telling me and what God was saying to me is to accept yourself for the purposes of growth. And I was like, well, God, that seems so counterintuitive. Like, I don't understand that.
Right.
And what he began to show me was that as you accept yourself, the good and the bad, you become a whole person. So what you focus on gets bigger.
Right.
And just like you said, when you said that, this triggered this thought in my head of, well, what was I focusing on at that time? I was focusing on, well, I'm not that fear. Whenever fear came up, I'm not that fear. That's not me. So like, that's what I was focusing on the whole time.
That's why it's important to know what your weakness is so that when the devil uses it against you, you can have a strategy and can come against it.
Exactly. Like, amen. So on that journey of knowing myself, it sounds weird, but it's accepting that, okay, I have this weakness here. It's a weakness, it's a character flaw, and it does need to change. But in order for that to grow, in order for me to grow in that area, I had to accept that as a part of just, all right, that's a part of me. There's good things about Josh. There's medium things about Josh. There's bad things about Josh. But this is all Josh, because he's showing me who is Josh. Where is he at right now?
Right now, right.
Exactly.
Because the true Josh is absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
No flaws,
no
nothing.
Yeah.
You're in the image of Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that it plays, like, it kind of seems to go back and forth against each other in terms of, like, what I'm saying, like, right now. So, I mean, when I say right now, I mean in terms of this earthly realm where we're at. We are also speaking spirits, and we are also right now at this time, we're in heaven with God, we're seated in heavenly places.
But yet
we're not there yet.
We're renewing our minds still.
Yeah, exactly. So we're working on being sanctified, we're working on being set apart, we're working on being made holy. And again, it's the Holy Spirit, it's God who's working that out in us. We just have to say, okay, God,
not an excuse when you do something or you mess up or blow up at somebody who cut you off on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an excuse to curse them out and say, well, you know, I'm still growing.
No, because we don't, it's grace that we have, but we don't abuse grace. That's
exactly.
Not the point. Exactly. I mean, the point of grace is so that we can have the freedom to go back and be like, oh man, I really messed up. You know, like, it breaks the cycle. It breaks the crazy cycle of life. Like, it's not meant for you to go and abuse it. It's meant for you to, like, it saves you. It can empower you to be free from that cycle.
It could also empower you not to sin.
Exactly.
You can go sin. You can go for not sin. For, you can, 6 months you can go without sinning.
That's right.
You can go a year. You can go your whole rest of your life without That's sinning. Right.
It's just amazing. As, in terms of what God has had me on, like, it's identity. And so it's, like I said, it's accepting yourself for the purpose of growth. So it's like, all right, this is me. This is where I'm at. Because, again, he's showing me who I am, right? That's the whole purpose of journey is, who am I? And so he showed me that, like, again, personality profile, the Myers-Briggs was so helpful in just identifying areas that I was like, man, how come I... So for example, in my personality profile, it says that I feel things very deeply. So my emotions are very sensitive. And I've always been very sensitive.
I could totally see that in you.
So the negative part of that is, like, I get hurt real easily. Like, I could get hurt real easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was something that I had to work on because I...
So the temptation then would be, don't open your heart to anybody.
Right, the temptation is, like, be closed off. Don't make new friends. Don't try to put yourself out there. But on the other side of things, I'm sensitive in a really good way. So, like, I care. I care about people real deeply, and I care about their growth. And so
that's a godly attribute.
Right? So, like, I would have never known this had God not said to me, all right, basically, son, I'm going to start to show you who you are. And, you know, yeah, did he use the Bible right there in that sense? He didn't use the Bible right away. But he began to say, who is Josh in Christ? And I'm going to show you who Josh is in Christ. First, I'm going to show you who Josh is. Here's how I created Josh to be.
Yeah.
And you need to accept that. This is how I created you to be. That I created you to care really deeply about people. I created you to have really powerful emotions. And I created you to have a different perspective on things than other people do. I created you in a very unique way. And you need to accept yourself.
Right.
Because this is how I made you, Joshua. This is how I made you, Frank. This is how I made you, Tim. This is how I made you, Alan. This is how I made you, other Tim.
This morning, Keith told me, he goes, Teresa said to me the other day, Keith, you're the softer version of Frank.
That is awesome.
Because when Keith starts going, he sounds a lot like me.
Sure.
And when I'm, like, compassionate with somebody, I remind myself of Keith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he says to me. Mm-hmm. And we just had kind of a laugh about that.
Yeah.
53 weeks. It's been 53 weeks since we met. I just realized that.
That's amazing.
It's been 53 weeks since we met. I remember the first day I met you. I had the men's retreat.
That's right.
We were in New Jersey, in Whiting, New Jersey, at a men's retreat. I had a word for you, came up to you, gave you a word. And then I'm thinking, I'll never see this guy again. You know, because our personalities are so different.
Mm-hmm.
We were just having this conversation recently. Normally, our personalities wouldn't have been attracted to each other.
Not at all, no.
But you see just how God works it, though. We were having a meeting at my house. You had called Pastor Allen.
That's right.
And we were just saying, like, hey, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, why don't you just come over to Frank's house? It was one of those things.
I was in a crisis mode at that point.
I remember that night.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that night. You're a totally different person from then.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
God's done a whole lot of getting rid of fear and anxiety and depression. But the most of it is, it's because he's been showing me that I'm a son, and that's gotten inside of me. And then he's begun to show me I'm the righteousness of God and what that means.
But amen.
See, that's why it's so cool. He just works that whole thing into this journey of, okay, Josh, I'm going to show you who you are. Now I'm going to show you who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where I've been for the past 5 years, is he's showing me who I am in him. And now I think he's starting to release me into some things, because the confidence has grown.
Uh-huh.
There's confidence where there was no confidence. There's acceptance of myself where there was no acceptance of myself. It's just amazing what God's done. And yeah, are there still little remnants of things that come up? Yeah, but I'm able to confess I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that really isn't me. But I had to know who I was first.
Right.
And that's...
Right.
And, you know, I think that's a struggle for a lot of people. There's so much out there that battles for your identity. There's
Absolutely.
So much out there that the enemy wants to define you with his definition, and God
right.
wants to define you with his
Ooh,
with
that's
his definition.
Good, that's a good word. That's a good word. That was the first thing that Satan attacked Jesus with. The very first thing.
That's right.
He comes out of the water.
If you're, yeah.
Right? John baptized him.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out of the water. The first thing that happened, God says, this is my son. My beloved son.
My beloved son.
In whom I'm well pleased.
That's right.
Meaning he validated his son.
He imbued identity over Jesus.
Done.
He said, this is who you are.
And then the next thing, boom, he's in the wilderness.
That's right.
And then Satan comes and goes, if you are the son of God. Well, first of all, he said if.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already trying to plant doubt.
Yep.
But he left out the word beloved. Because God said, this is my beloved son.
Mm-hmm.
Satan said, if you're his son. So he's already messing with the word.
Yeah.
if you're his son, not his beloved son, his son,
yeah.
then, you know, do this, do that, do this. He went right after his identity. And yeah, why? The devil, see, you can't be possessed by a demon now, a Christian. That's
right.
A Christian.
No.
But you can allow him to, you know, Satan's looking for an avenue to express himself through.
Yeah, he'll and run your life if you let him.
Yeah, he'll express it through you life. And me if I let him.
Yeah.
If we let him, he'll do that.
Yeah.
He wants to give you, like you said, his definition of identity.
God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, wants to define who you are. God wants to define who you are. So does Satan.
Amen.
So does the world. It's a battle over your identity.
That's right.
And it's not just you or me, it's everybody.
Right.
Because if he can get you to believe that you're somebody other than you are, if he can get you to believe that you're weak, you're not a leader, you're not meant to teach, you're not meant to preach, you're not meant to pray, that the gifts aren't for you, that you're just kind of a loser, oh man, he's got you. And here's the thing, he's a liar. So everything that he tells you that you are, you're the exact opposite of.
Exactly right. But if you don't know that, and if you're not spending time fellowship with the Father and in the Word, mm-hmm. then you're not going to be equipped to know that any of that is a lie.
Yeah.
Just like Eve.
No, you'll just go around with your false identity on, being used by the enemy, being a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just, he's got you at that point.
And what you said, it's so true, society tries to identify you. Like when I say, you meet somebody, hi, I'm Frank, oh, hi, I'm Jack. So what do you do, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? You know, we're identified by what we do, not who mm-hmm. we are.
Especially men. Men are they identify so much with their job. It's the first thing. It's the second thing out of your mouth after hi. It's like, hi, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
what do? I have the power to bless. I have the power to curse. I prophesy. What do you do?
What do you do? Oh, I'm a.
Do you
I'm
love
a mechanic
God?
Or something?
Yeah, I'm a mechanic.
You know. No, I'm not a mechanic.
I know. I know what you mean.
No, I mean that's who you are. I mean, what if your response was, hi. My name's Josh, and I'm the righteousness of God. What if your response was like, hi, who are you? You
know, who are you?
Hi, who are you? Not what do you do?
Because
you're not
are you?
You're not what you do. That's not what gives you your identity. And that's what God has had me on that journey. This is going to sound real controversial, but he allowed me to lose my job. And in that, as a man, I identify as, I was a graphic designer for years. For 7 years, I was a graphic designer. And that threw me into this really deep, I just lost who I was. But see, that was a perfect opportunity for God to say, no, 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 no. You're not a graphic designer. No, 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 no. You're my son. You're the righteousness of God. You are not to let what you do define you.
Mm.
That's not
I agree with you, Josh, up to a point. I don't believe that God allowed you to lose your job. What I do believe is
he used it.
He used you losing your job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean,
because there's a slight difference. Because if we believe that God would do stuff like that
mm-hmm.
and then not provide something better,
yeah.
Well, then we just think he's a maniac.
Right.
Like he's just going to do whatever he's going to do, and but we don't even learn anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's the point? I do believe that when I mess up, he's got my back.
Definitely.
And says, all right, he did this. You know what? I can use this, though. I'm going to use that stuff and bring him over here.
If I would rephrase it, I would say he used that time to even more define me.
Amen. You are not what you're going to do, and you are not, like my wife told me once, you mm-hmm. are not what you've done.
Yeah.
You are the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
You're in good standing with him, and you're his son.
And why are you the righteousness of God? Why is it so important for us to tell you that you're the righteousness of God? It's important that you know who you are, so you can act right. If you know who you are, then you know how to act in every single situation. And so just so you know, I think I stole part of that from Graham Cook. So
that's okay.
But if you know who you are...
It's meant to be taken.
Yeah, it's meant to be taken. It's a good word. It's powerful. If you know who you are, then you know how to act in every single situation. You know how to be mm-hmm. in every single situation. So if you're the righteousness of God, then you don't have permission to sin. You're not a sinner. If you're a sinner, you've got permission to sin, and you're going to sin. No, it's controversial. I don't really care. If you have your identity as the righteousness of God, you have permission to not sin. You have permission to be righteous.
So what? It sounds like you're giving people a license to be righteous.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Look, learn who you are in Christ. Know that you're the son, you're a son, a daughter of God. Know what that actually means.
Man, you're a real pop star,
man. Know what it means
man.
When you're righteous.
Yeah.
Know what that means.
Know what it means to be righteous.
Know what it means
have
to be
that
righteous.
Understanding.
Have that understanding. Allow it to transform you. We're also worried about trying to force ourselves into a certain mold and whatever. Different people worry about, I have to speak in tongues, or I have to have healings come out of me, I have to do this, I have to do that. Look, it all flows from who you are in him. Like you said, Jesus, God came on him and said, here's my son who I'm well pleased.
Right.
The enemy tested it. he passed the test, and then he went out and he did his thing. Healed everybody that came to him, but it flowed from who he was.
Absolutely.
He knew who he was.
The more of a revelation that you get of who you are in him, the more you're not going to be able to be stopped by the enemy.
Right.
By your family. By your so-called friends. Mm-hmm. By your boss. By the world. By people who persecute against you. You're not going to be stopped.
Yeah.
And if it's not gone, it'll fall away. If it is, watch out. I feel bad for you. Yeah. Not really, but you know.
There's a battle for your identity, man. There's a battle for your identity because you're meant to carry some really major resources. There's a battle.
Amen. Amen to that.
For who you are.
That is a good word.
So.
That's a good word, man. That's a very good word. Well, we're relaunching an article that Josh had wrote for the website called Are You Accepting Yourself? And here's what I'm going to encourage you guys to do. We got a lot of feedback on it, but I think it's important, especially now after this topic about knowing who you are in the Lord and being sure of your identity in Him. We're relaunching the article. It's up there right now on the website. Go to the website, the homepage, it's right there. Read it and then do the questions on the bottom because Josh is very much available to answer your questions and go over some of your answers on the next Godcast Q&A. Dude, you have to come back.
Yeah, I do.
This was very cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Thank you, Lord, for this time together on the Godcast. We look forward to speaking with you guys next week. So until next week,
stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.